From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of October. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture surprised the trade with a 168.4 bushel yield for corn and a carryout of 1.929 billion bushels. Both of those were above the trade expectations. Cash price set at $3.80. Soybean carryout at $4.60 and a $9 cash price. And that pushed the soybean prices down a quarter of a cent by the end of the day, mostly on sympathy with corn. They finished down 14 in the December, $3.80 and a quarter. The March there at 391 and a half, 14 lower. In July, down 12 and a quarter at 402 and a quarter. November beans at 923 and a half, down a quarter. In January futures at 937 and a half of a cent lower. July wheat for the soft red at 510 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. And the livestock finished 25 cents higher in the live cattle, 20 lower in the feeders, and the lean hogs were up 40 cents.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. What an exciting day we've had. USDA's numbers surprised the marketplace more than I think expected by far. Corn in particular, what'd you make of them upon their release?
Well, I've kind of felt for some time that the trade was hyping up this October report as probably being more important than it really was. And the reason is that normally the October report is a major report. I mean, if you look historically, that is when you see big acreage changes, you see yield changes and all this kind of stuff. But this is not a normal year. And so I think a lot of the data that maybe USDA relies on for an October estimate maybe wasn't necessarily available this time around because of the lateness of the crop and the progress of the crop. So, you know, maybe a lot of those changes might not occur until November. We'll have to kind of wait and see on that. It was just kind of like the June acres report. For all practical purposes, they should have postponed that June 30th report until July 30th because planting conditions were so late that, you know, when they issued the report, they said, well, 84% of the crop was planted, but farmers intend to plant, you know, 16% of this and that. So I'm not surprised that the USDA report didn't give the trade what they wanted. Now, I still personally have a hard time buying into the fact that this year's bean crop is within 3 bushels of last year's. And I have a hard time buying that the corn crop is within 8 bushels if you want to go by USDA's numbers. But if you look at the stocks report, it might, you know, last year's yield could have been overstated by three bushels. We don't know for sure. But if they overstated the bean yield, the odds are pretty good that the corn yield was overstated too. But like I talked last week, USDA never changes the corn yield. They just, you know, put the residual over into unexplained disappearance or whatever. So if they overstated the bean yield, they had made a downward adjustment in bean yields. And if they would have did that in corn, they would have did a 2 to 3 bushel downward adjustment in corn. And that would have said this year's corn crop is within 5 bushels of last year's. Like I said, whether it's 5 or 8, I don't care. I just still have a hard time buying into the fact that the yields are that close to last year's level. So I guess longer term, I'm still in the opinion that the crop size is going to get smaller. It's just going to take USDA a while to get to it. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll get any numbers, good firm numbers, until you get into the March report. We may have to wait till the June report because I don't, you know, we did get a nice clean September 1 stocks number because no harvest activity was going on. So I do believe those September 1 stocks numbers are fairly solid for an estimate. But I think harvest is going to be so late this year in many areas of the Corn Belt that when they do the December 1 survey, a lot of the crop is going to maybe be in the field. And I don't think they'll get a good reading on the December 1 stocks. And therefore, if you don't get a good reading on the December 1 stocks, then that doesn't, then the January final production number isn't a good reading. And we then go halfway through the marketing year, and then we'll get a stocks number there. And that'll kind of firm up maybe what we produce by then. We may begin to look at whether we'll know, but it's going to take a few stocks reports to get there, I think. In the short run, the market had a nice rally. It was due for a setback. I didn't necessarily believe that we were ready for a 12 to 15 cent setback in corn all in one day. But a setback in here doesn't alarm me any. The viciousness of it doesn't really alarm me any because, you know, I think it'll regroup. It'll find support. It'll hold above the previous low and we'll regroup. And then we'll get back to hearing actual yields. And I don't think the actual yields will be verified by USDA's estimates. So I think, you know, we're in one of these situations where it's just going to take time for the crop size to get firmed up. And the market will, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow and we'll see what happens early next week. But I do think this market will firm back up again. And then I think it'll resume its uptrend. So, but it doesn't surprise me that USA's didn't give the trade what they wanted because I think they were overhyping the importance of the October report to start with. And I just didn't think this year's October report was going to be that important, or it wasn't going to reveal any earth-shattering data. And you can see that what data they did give us, it was just minor adjustments. Now, those minor adjustments didn't go the trade's way. So that's why the trade, you know, took corn down so hard. But I think that'll all settle down and regroup, and the market will continue to resume its sideways to higher trend, Todd.
So you talked a little bit about some of the upcoming reports. In the January report, USDA in December will survey farmers. They'll pick up the abandoned acres, I would think, at that point, don't you?
They'll pick up more information. There is no doubt about it. You know, each report they go, they're going to have a little more information and they'll be able to continue to fine tune it. But what I'm more worried about on the December report is when they do the stock survey, how much is actually yet to be harvested. And that is where you get where the number may not be as firm as what I would like to have it. You know, usually by December 1st, harvest is 99% complete. Maybe there might be one region in the area that might be behind, but it's such a small percentage that it doesn't make any difference. This year, we could be to the point where we could maybe still have 25% of the crop to be harvested on December 1st or at the time when USDA does the survey. I know that depends upon what kind of weather we have the rest of this month and what we have in November, but but in order for USDA to really catch the total supply is they got to catch it through those stocks reports. And then all of a sudden those stocks reports, if they don't match up to what USDA thinks the production was, then they have to do some changing. And that's why the January final, a lot of times you will see acreage adjustments. You will see harvested acreage adjustments, and then you will see yield adjustments. So maybe the January report, you know, they will have more information, and maybe I'm too optimistic. Maybe we'll get the crop harvested by December 1st, and USDA's stocks numbers will be better than what I think they will be. And then they will be able to take those December 1st stocks numbers, and then they'll be able to subtract the September 1 numbers. And then they say, okay, this is how much supply we had, from leftover carryover, and this is what we produce. And then they'll try to subtract out what we used in ethanol, what we used in exports, what we used in crush. And then that's how they firm up that January final production number. They kind of back out of it, or they can go through it that way and firm it up. I know that their yield sample surveys will give them a yield, but if it doesn't match up to the production numbers, then they have to go back in there and they got to do some acreage adjustments, and then they got to do some yield adjustments. That's why a lot of times that January report is a surprise. And I would say this year's January report may be more volatile than normal, because I think this October report is just a shade early for USDA to catch all the information that they normally catch. And I may be wrong on that. That's just my layman's opinion sitting down here in Waco, Texas. And we'll see. But I just, from what I've heard on the phone, I just have a hard time buying the fact that national average bean yield is within 3 bushels of last year and within 8 or 5 bushels of corn. I just don't believe it's there. So I think over time, those numbers will come down, and the overall supply demand balance sheet will tighten up.
I'd like to change gears quickly with you on the weather that's coming into the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, into South Dakota, Nebraska, the northwestern corner of Iowa in particular, and North Dakota for snow, particularly colder weather or freezing temperatures in those other three areas, South Dakota for snow as well, I suppose, or at least part of it. Has the market adequately taken this into consideration yet, or are they just simply waiting to see whether it pans out?
I think probably a little bit of everything. I think the market, to try to be bullish this year has never paid. It hasn't paid to be bullish this year because USDA's reports have had a tendency to kind of put cold water on any kind of bullishness. And when it comes to freezes and that, for the most part, it depends upon, how broad area is going to be. But I do remember, the early freeze of 1974, but that's been so many years ago. I do know that the beans, we were harvesting basically shotgun shell BBs. They were really small little BBs. So if we got a lot of immature beans out there, those bean yields are going to get hurt pretty bad. As far as corn goes, I think it's going to be more of a quality issue. And again, it probably does take yield off depending upon, how far along the maturity is. But my guess is it's going to be more of a quality issue, a dry down issue, and nobody really knows how to put a number on that until we get going down the road. So I think the trade is going to, number one, it's going to wait on it. Now, meteorologists have always told me over the years, and it may not be the case now, they may have more information, but it's real hard to determine these temperatures and how deep and how far they go. I'm sure the computer models today are much better than what they were 10 years ago and what they were 20 years ago and 30 years ago. But, the frost may not be quite as bad as what they're forecasting, or it could go deeper and it could be colder. We don't know until it actually happens. It probably depends upon cloud cover. It depends upon wind speed. It depends upon a whole lot of things. So that could be the case. And the other reason why the trade isn't reacting very bullishly toward it is because when you do look at the supply demand tables, even though that the bean carry out has gone significantly lower compared to what we were looking at maybe 6 months ago, where, easily that bean thing could reach 1 billion bushels. Now we're down below 500 million, which is, the bean carry out is half of what we thought it could be 6 months ago. But 450 million bushels is still excessive beans. We still got plenty of beans. And that same way with the corn carry out. Corn carry out at 1.9. The trade was kind of thinking maybe that thing may come down to 1.5. But if it's at 1.5, at 1.9, we got some room. So I think that's probably what the case may be. The trade is going to kind of wait to see exactly how cold it gets, how big an area it is impacted, and then it'll try to make an assessment of what kind of damage it's done, how much, if it did cut yield, how much it cut yield. But I think in corn's case, it's going to be more of a quality issue. Beans, probably we will lose yield on beans, depending upon how what maturity level they are on. But that's why I kind of think in the long run, I just have a hard time buying that this year's bean yield is within 3 bushels of last year, and the corn yields is within 5 to 6, 8 bushels of last year. I think over time, that's all going to come in.
Hey, thanks, Dan. We'll talk with you later.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, trade delegations from the United States and China have been meeting today. Those meetings have gone longer than expected. It's not clear what exactly that means. However, it's been a topsy-turvy 24 hours. Yesterday, U.S. President Donald Trump, during a signing ceremony, decided to talk a bit about trade and some of the successes he has already had.
We did a deal with South Korea, big one, really big one, and we did one yesterday with Japan, and that now goes into effect, and it's tremendous for our farmers. As you know, we have China coming. They'll be coming tomorrow. We have the vice premier of China coming. So we have a lot of big things happening. We have some tremendous deals under negotiation.
The trade deal with Japan was recently signed. It brings the United States to about 95% parity of the CPTPP. That's the replacement trade deal that the other Trans-Pacific Partnership nations decided upon after President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the TPP. The deal with South Korea is called CORUS. That was updated in 2017, originally an Obama-era free trade agreement. And the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, has yet to be voted on by the U.S. Congress. That'll need to happen before it comes back to President Donald Trump's desk. And then, of course, there is China.
In my opinion, China wants to make a deal more than I do. Okay? But look, I'm very happy right now. We're taking in billions of dollars of tariffs. And despite what the news was saying, there's no inflation. There's not a very big price increase, if any, because they've eaten the tariffs. They've devalued their currency, and they're pouring a lot of money into their system. Now, they've lost 3.5 million jobs, and their chain is breaking up. Their supply chain is breaking up like a broken egg. They want to make a deal. The question is, do I want to make a deal? And the answer would be, if we make the right deal, I'd love to do it. I think it would be a great thing for China also.
This is unclear, but those comments made yesterday by President Donald Trump may have been some posturing after the United States blacklisted 28 Chinese companies earlier in the week. That didn't make the Chinese very happy, and there were some expectations they could leave Washington, D.C. as early as today. However, the White House still insists that there will be a meeting between the vice premier and President Donald Trump tomorrow. We'll just have to wait and see how all of that turns out. Well, let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the cash grain market. Matt Bennett now joins us. He's at Windsor, Illinois, and agmarket.net. You're in the combine again today. Last week, I think you were in soybeans. Are you still in beans, or have you switched over to corn?
Yeah, we're doing our last beans that are dry enough. Basically, we're going to have to wait on this system to go through, and some of our later June-planted beans, maybe we can get into next week if we don't get too much moisture, but still on soybeans for now. Probably switch over to corn after we get a little rain.
United States Department of Agriculture released and updated the WASDE and crop production figures this morning. What'd you think of those when they came out?
Well, you know, I wasn't terribly surprised, I guess, that the corn yield didn't do much. Going up a little bit, I think, is interesting, to say the least. I think a lot of the anecdotal yield reports that we've gotten wouldn't have indicated that would happen, but I don't know how much data that they had to go off of. I'm not saying they're going to go down drastically in November, but I'd sure struggle to think that they would go up anymore. As far as soybeans go, I think that the bean yield is still too high. Again, anecdotal reports would lead us to believe that, we're looking at a much smaller bean crop than obviously last year. Now, how much smaller than a 46.9, I don't know. But, if last year, after last week's updated, stock situation showed a crop of 50.6 last year, I don't know that we can be, just three and a half bushels off of that. So, I guess in my opinion, the bean yield's probably going to come down some. I was very surprised, I guess, by some of the demand implications after they, kind of messed up really this past marketing year, as evidenced by a quarterly stocks report last week. I was a little bit surprised that, for instance, feed demand wasn't higher than what it was, but I think that'll all get adjusted in subsequent reports.
Have you been talking with agronomists about this big weather storm that's making its way into the northwestern part of the Corn Belt at this point and could put at least freezing temperatures around 30, 31 into our area on Saturday morning, and what kind of impact it and the snowfall would have on crops?
Yeah, there's no question it's going to have a very significant impact, especially up there, not only just from stopping the growing season for some crops that needed a little bit more time, but ruining the quality on some of these crops. I think quality is going to be one of your biggest concerns, especially in the Dakotas and western Minnesota. But, you're getting into our part of the world, and we're probably a little more fortunate in that the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've just been blessed with phenomenal weather. But, you get north of us and west of us very far, and they're not in the same situation. So I think it's certainly going to be a challenge, and it's going to change what our final crop size is going to be later on down the road. Now, are we going to know enough about it in November for the November report? That remains to be seen. But I think in January, you're going to see a much different production estimate for both corn and beans than what you saw today.
The markets, futures in particular, tend to build these events in pretty quickly. I don't know about freezes, frankly. Are they waiting for the freeze to happen before they push the market very much, in your opinion?
I feel like a little bit of that might have been in the market this week. I think that it's definitely been a deal where people have been keeping an eye on this, on these weather reports. But at the same time, I think that if this system stalled out like some people feel it's going to, you'd be hard-pressed to think that the trade's not going to buy into that. So, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but I certainly wouldn't be going to sleep on it. I think on down the road, it's certainly going to not only adjust production, but, of course, it's going to pull some bushels out of, what we're going to have available.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. That wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.